The issue of historical literacy came up quite literally in the 2010 election campaign this week, with this comment during the debate between Christine O'Donnell in a debate with her opponent, Chris Coons, at Widener Law School on October 19th.
Let me just clarify. You're telling me that the separation of church and state is found in the First Amendment.
Government shall make no establishment of
faith. That's in the First Amendment.
Is the separation of church and state doctrine in the First Amendment? Christine O'Donnell didn't appear to know. She's running for U.S. Senate. I think it's fairly safe to say that we want senators to understand the Constitution. But in general in America, do we have an idea of what historical literacy is?
What the bar is, you mean? What right. The measure is?
What is the history we all actually do need to know?
We have not established that.
I don't think we have. Well, we aim to make you late for work this morning. This hour, lots of voices of history, on the teaching of history, and what's omitted. Later on, we're going to talk with Thomas Holt, who's written a fabulous history of African Americans, who's taken on the task. But with us this morning, we have Patrick Henry Bass, our dear friend, senior editor for Essence Magazine, and a historian in his own right. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Celeste.
And Kenneth Davis joins us, New York Times bestselling author of Don't Know Much About History and Don't Know Much About the Civil War. His newest book, A Nation Rising, Untold Tales of Flawed Founders, Fallen Heroes, and Forgotten Fighters from America's Hidden History, among other titles. Kenneth Davis, good morning.
That's quite a mouthful. But
yes, indeed. Well,
you wrote
good
it.
Morning.
exactly. Yes, you're writing more mouthful.
And I would also add that the subtitle of Don't Know Much About History is Everything You Need to Know About American History But Never Learned. So it's all there, right?
Well, let's get right to it's easy to make fun of a Christine O'Donnell running for the Senate in Delaware for getting something wrong. And who knows, maybe it was just a gaffe. But, you know, the Leno show will do like, you know.
Crosswalks.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Do we have I mean, it's fun to figure out what people get wrong. But do we know what the right answer is if we ask the question, what constitutes historical literacy in the United States of America?
There are no national standards for history in America. They're trying to come up with some. States usually dictate what each school child should know. So we have 50 sets of rules and probably more in some areas. So no, there is no real you should know this. And we have a general idea. Certainly we'd like our Senate candidates to understand what the First Amendment says. And by the way, the follow-up to that was that the other candidate couldn't name the other Chris Coons
right.
couldn't name the other four freedoms that are mentioned in the First Amendment.
So interesting.
So that's a frightening idea. But we've had this problem for a long time. This is not new. We go back to 1987, the survey that said what our 17-year-olds don't know. I've always said that their parents and older brothers wouldn't know anymore. It's a serious problem, but it's one that has to do with the way we teach history and talk about it. It's more about myth and popular memory than real history.
And we want you to be a part of this conversation. What constitutes historical literacy in your life, or what fact would you like to share that you think we all should know about American history that was a discovery or a revelation to you? 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Patrick Henry Bass. Patrick Henry, your
That's
name.
That's right.
There's some history right there, which
Give
I love.
Give me liberty or get me to work.
There is a complication in America because it's not just history, it's histories of different people who came here for different reasons with different stories and different narratives.
Right.
How does that complicate this
issue? I'm of the age where I remember we had just moved beyond Negro History Week. And I remember in the social science book, social studies books, that there would be one page devoted to African-American lives. And you would always see a slave, and he always looked like a refugee from an Uncle Ben's box. And you got to see the complexity and the multiplicity of stories about white people in these books. And so I discovered John Hope Franklin's From Slavery to Freedom, and it changed my life. There's a book that Toni Morrison edited for Random House called The Black Book in 1974. It was just a collection of memorabilia. In fact, the story of Cynthia Garner, who murdered her children, that would become the basis for Beloved, was in this book. And there were all of these tales about African Americans in the 18th century and 19th century. For instance, there were 3 million slaves in the South, but there were also 500,000 free blacks. And you can go to black newspapers to get an incredible account of black life in the early part of the 19th century. where, you know, African Americans were traveling to Haiti, writing books beyond Phyllis Wheatley. And the fact that people don't dig a little deeper to find that scholarship, I find discouraging. Because it's all there, right in the library.
And we have a
Forget
quiz.
About the internet. It's right there.
We have a quiz on our website on history, and people have been weighing in on that as well.
And one of them is about which other freedoms are in that First Amendment. But, you know, Kenneth Davis, let me go back to something you were talking about history being a collection of myths and assumptions. And that kind of takes me to the story out of Virginia that we got about fourth graders at the public school who were given textbooks with a section that said thousands of Southern blacks fought in the Confederate ranks, including two black battalions under the command of Stonewall Jackson. First of all, is that true?
That is untrue, categorically, by every standard of scholarship. There were certainly African Americans along fighting, sometimes fighting, but in service in the Confederacy.
And some of them were promised freedom.
Well, some of them were promised freedom, but here's the clincher. They were slaves. They did what they were told.
Right.
This is the history that – now, part of this is
which
an important
means they
story.
weren't Confederates in the sense that they supported the Confederacy. They were
absolutely
doing a job.
Absolutely.
But we also don't know, because their lives, their stories were not recorded. You would have to go to the black press – for accurate recording and accounting of black life.
But here's the thing, besides the inaccuracy of it, here's the thing that really got me. They're not pulling those textbooks. The Department of Education has said, ignore that part of the text.
Mm. Well, the story as I read it was that someone said, well, it's only a sentence in a book, and which was an astonishing notion to me. It gets to a very fundamental part of this conversation: who writes history? Winners write history. Unfortunately, these days, in this case, the author, who was not a trained historian, and I'm not that trained historians always get it right, but she had pulled this stuff off the internet, and she pulled it off the sites that were coming from the Sons of the Confederacy, which is a group that has an agenda.
People's hunger for history on the internet may produce some errors in the system. But hold on one second. We got a huge conversation here. It's going to go on all hour. Kenneth Davis, New York Times bestselling author, don't know much about history, don't know much about the Civil War. Patrick Henry Bass, senior editor for Essence Magazine. First Europeans to come to North America?
Were the Dutch?
No. Spanish. Unless you count the Vikings.
Vikings. Yeah,
there
so
we go.
I was
going to
say
go.
Eric
That's right.
the Redman,
right.
Leif Erickson.
All right, Patrick Henry Bass, senior editor for Essence Magazine. Go to our website, thetakeaway.org, and post your comment on what constitutes historical literacy in the United States. Listen to what we get wrong all hour
quiz.
Long.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.